presents
Tatters
of the King, a 6th edition Call of Cthulhu campaign. Let the madness begin.
Hey, we're back. It's been
at least six years
since we played.
It's been 2 weeks as far as anyone listening is concerned, because we record these and immediately put them out the week we play them.
Yes,
yeah,
that's what I meant.
Exactly.
Don't mess with the timeline.
That's what we do.
Have we actually played since I've been married?
No.
So
no.
It's longer than 6 weeks.
So grats.
No, that can't be right.
No, we haven't. I don't think we have.
I think we did right after.
I'm pretty sure we played the week after. When did you get married?
Yeah,
the
we
10th
did.
Of September.
Yeah, oh, we played since then.
Okay. I was like, I can't.
Probably even twice.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Who knows?
At least once.
But the baby information is new for us this round, so.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, let's play a game.
Okay.
I'm just ready to go. We haven't played in forever. Let's
oh my God.
Hunt some things.
Angus the Bull is just ready to punch shit in the
yes,
face.
Yes, I have not got to punch things.
He's raging.
Now you know how I feel when we play D&D.
The difference is you can punch anybody you want anytime. You do that in this game, you go to jail.
I mean, you had opportunities to punch people when we were at the asylum. You just chose not to. I mean,
that's not a false statement.
Could have also punched the cheeky bookkeeper.
Okay, so
I punched Daniel in the face.
Daniel dies. 22 is dead.
1d3 so, plus 1d4.
This guy isn't even as bad as Twitty. You guys don't even know Twitty.
Five damage.
He's so mad about this article that you guys just found that he punched you in the face.
I can handle five damage.
Roll to punch the newspaper boy who was probably 12 years old.
Here's your tip.
Some of us around here don't want to hurt children on purpose.
Oh.
Okay. All right, so let's move on from that. That's a thing that...
That's a thing in the future that might also be in the past, that for us yeah. the past, but could be your future.
We have no idea. Ooh. This paradox is
interesting. All right, everyone make a sand.
Roll sand for that.
Hey, past.
All right.
Wibbly wobbly.
So you guys have discussed the last thing that you acquired was a newspaper telling you that Dr. Trollope is now deceased. Your move.
Did he have a say in Roby's release or not?
No, but I think it was McDuff who had suggested we release him to the doctor.
Yeah.
He was going to give us more information on family history and stuff. I even think we were looking into blood types, as yes. I recall.
Yeah,
we were.
To see whose blood had been shed both at the home and at the
asylum.
Yeah. Because we have a copious amount of blood in one location, but no blood in another. Wasn't the family insanguinated?
They were insanguinated. There was blood.
The dad was insanguinated.
Yeah.
The daughter was cut up.
Yeah, she was just had her throat slit.
Correct.
But I remember our conversation saying that there was no matches between blood types. Like the dad's blood wasn't even there.
Right. Like, yeah, I think
yeah, they, right. yeah, they, yeah, they didn't.
We were trying it. To, we were also trying to match. There were two different murders. What are you, like a year apart, right? Or whatever.
Yeah, we were trying to see if there was any
the
connections.
Asylum. And there was a connection there, but we couldn't connect that to anything. So
right,
we couldn't triangulate the signal.
So anyway,
and we
I
had
guess...
spent some time at that one guy's house, right?
Right. So if anyone wants to reread that and then make a decision,
well, I mean, we had
the article.
The article has two witnesses, or not witnesses, two suspects. I believe there was something undescript about a nondescript description about a jacket or something. There was some sort of, hey, look at me, I'm a clue thing inside the article.
So there was a short guy and a tall guy, if I remember correct. One short, one tall.
Maybe it was three.
Oh, this is the wrong thing.
Maybe it was three midgets.
Where'd you go?
You had that for a pretty long time.
Well, I'm reading it. I'm like, this. What is this?
Oh, that's the article about the original murder.
Yeah. The attacker, a tall man in a long dark coat, joined a smaller stout man before running off towards Waterloo Place. A brown leather boot lace was found in the dead man's grip.
Ooh.
The motive appears to be robbery.
So I think we need to find the only schlup in 19... When are we playing?
28.
We need to find the only schlup in 1928 who wears a black overcoat with brown dress shoes, because that person is a monster.
Fair enough.
There's a delayed laugh there.
You've now become the fashion police.
Well, I was still trying to read. I'm trying to... Yeah, there's nothing really else, I don't think. Yeah.
I believe there is. Roll me an... Roll me an idea roll.
This is called Troy's Missing the Hint.
Troy's Missing the Hint.
Well, I... Really,
you guys are all reading it, so.
What's the idea? Where's the idea?
That would be one of your stats.
Top right.
I believe the article says there was a witness there, a young boy who was a newspaper boy.
No, go.
In the park.
Yeah.
Is it the newspaper boy who gave us them?
That would be kind of ironic, considering that this guy would have died how long ago?
It was the night before. It was literally the night before you got that article. It was that night.
Last night.
The night you spoke to him after you left was when this happened, which was day before you met Dahlia in the morning.
Suspects. That's
awesome. No, they already have suspects.
Well, they don't know who they are. We could probably live by them. We don't
clearly. I guess that's true.
I'm fairly stout.
Clearly, this is not the same newspaper boy you just bought the paper off of because you were nowhere near the park.
I like to call shenanigans because I'm pretty sure didn't Daniel stay outside the place all night. But anyway, all right. So he died shortly after we talked to him.
I believe you were going to and didn't get there.
I didn't stay all night.
Shenanigans. That's what I say.
Should have.
But all right.
Hindsight and whatnot.
I believe there's also I believe there is also an inspector named in there that you can speak with.
Nope, we're just not going to do anything you want us to do, Lucas.
No, I'm just saying that these are the things that are in this article.
Nope.
You can all go home and sleep if you want, and we'll just call this a session.
All right. Bye.
I'm totally dropping the outro right there.
I drove an hour for this.
Okay. What the so, we're clearly getting on a train and heading back to London.
We got the article before we got on the train?
Yeah. I would say I think we got the article as we were getting on the train. So it's evening. We are probably going to go home and do our things. We do have normal lives, so we have to do something somewhat normal besides investigate murders.
I will say it's not that late. You guys met with Dahlia at lunchtime, so it's probably just early afternoon.
Okay. Fair enough.
Well, if anybody's going to talk to this paper boy, we probably shouldn't all group up on this 12-year-old kid. So
paper boy,
probably should just be one person.
Well, you also could have someone who is good with the police go talk to Scotland Yard and speak to Detective Inspector Taylor, has information.
They didn't like me last time I was there.
That's been like 3 months ago in real time. Lucas may have forgotten that they didn't like you.
Well.
I didn't forget. They didn't hate you. They just were not happy you were there.
Well, yeah. I guess that's true.
They were very confused when two people came in asking the same questions.
Hey, he made it clear why he was there and why I was there. I didn't make it clear.
You didn't make it clear the first time.
Yeah,
because I
made it clear enough to get what we needed.
I was trying not to make it clear on purpose.
So
that's fair.
I'm interested about reading this book.
So you're out for a week. What would you guys like to do for the next 7 days?
I'm not necessarily out for a week.
You can study it over time. It will take a week to study.
So I'm just studying it in my free time.
Can you not roll to like speed read?
There are usually in Call of Cthulhu there are what they call skim rules, and then there are read rules. So skim rules give you a portion of information up to the keeper's discretion, and usually the sand loss for reading some sort of mythos tome is like one half or one third of what it should be. But you obviously just get whatever they want, which is probably not going to be the pertinent information you actually want. Usually when it says a week, that would be like he needs to actually spend several hours a day for an entire week. So,
what I'm saying, what if he spent 24 hours in a straight, you know, reading the book instead of spreading it out over a week?
Then that minor sand loss becomes more of a major sand loss.
We're not worried about that.
You get a little creeped out each time you watch.
You might be worried about that.
Harold's a little worried.
If I lose five, there's a chance that we're all dying.
Well, there's a chance that you're going to go crazy.
No, we'll just put you down. I mean, I've got no problems with that. You are not a 6-year-old boy. All right.
Detweiler.
You made choices. I will go, obviously I'm not going to the police station, but I can go around the park and grab a newspaper boy by the scruff, because this is 1928 or whatever, and no one's going to care if I accost a small child for information. Not going to kill him, just going to accost him. Perhaps give him money afterwards.
You've got a pretty good credit rating, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You probably want higher credit rating to go to the cops, probably, right?
It just depends. I would say credit rating could be useful. Persuade would be useful. Anyone who's good at talking.
Yeah.
I'm good at both of those.
I seriously should have took persuade over fast talk.
Eh, you might need it later.
So yeah, why don't you two, well, at least you guys have, will have different angles to go, so if one doesn't work, another can try. So
that's fun.
You guys go.
Yeah, but here's the thing, we're going to go, if either me or you go, we're going to be talking about this investigation of a man we've seen the night before, or the day before.
Well,
so,
we also have previously established, I guess, ourselves as curious about...
I'm just saying they're going to
be... Previous murder, the well-being of the kid, blah, blah, blah.
It's called plot and intrigue, Daniel. It'll be fine. Yes. Are they going to consider us suspects? I'm sure they will.
Yeah,
that would be good.
But, like, I don't want to be, like, immediately a suspect right then. Like, I'm assuming...
Did we have an alibi for last night? What did we do? Did we do anything after we talked to the guy? I don't remember.
I went to a prize fight. I don't know.
No, we went and talked to the brother, right? And he's the one who gave us the information for Delia.
After?
Yeah, because we went to the doctor first.
That is right, yeah. So we have an alibi.
Then you guys should go as concerned citizens.
Yeah.
Saying, hey, we saw this guy. What? We saw him right before he died. Whoa! That's weird. What do you know about his murder? I feel totally upset about this, bro. I think that's your angle.
Sounds good.
And forward. I think it's got to be a little bit more than that, but...
Yeah, I mean...
So what, we're going to go...
Accost small newspaper boys.
Sounds good. Yo. Let's do it.
All right, so let's go speak with the newspaper boy first. Do you guys get to the park?
For the park, I mean, are there multiple ones that we have to select from, or...
The park itself? Yeah. Or the? No, it's the park that was, like, near his home.
No, I'm just saying.
Right.
Are is there one newspaper boy for that area?
Yes.
Or?
As we're walking around, do we see Un newspaper boy?
You see Un newspaper boy who is waving yada, yada, yada. You know, murder in the park last night type thing.
All right. Let's go talk to him.
All right. Be like, hey, kid.
What?
You know?
You want to buy a paper?
Sure. And I give him the amount for... Two papers.
Oh, wow, thanks.
Hey, you hold on to that paper for a minute.
Okay.
I got a question for you.
Sure.
So that article talks about a newspaper boy.
Yeah.
You happen to know who that newspaper boy might be?
Well, it was me.
That's kind of what I figured.
Name's Tommy.
God. Okay, Tommy. So, for the price of, say, two more newspapers, what'd you see?
Why, I saw a man in a coat. He stabbed the other man, the old one.
Yeah, where was that at?
Oh, just over there. And it's to a area not far from where he's standing.
Here, show me. Tell me about it. And I'm going to sort of indicate you should walk in that direction. He's selling papers anyway, right?
Mm-hmm.
Selling papers. So, yeah, would you see, you know, so we walk along. What? Describe it to me. What happened?
Well, the man looked like he was heading this direction. And then another man stopped him, and then he attacked him.
Did any of these men say anything to each other?
I couldn't really hear.
Was the guy who got stabbed, did he seem surprised? Did he think he knew this other guy?
Wouldn't you be surprised if you got stabbed?
Don't ask questions, kid. So...
That was a fair question.
I mean, did he go, my gods, it's you, before he got stabbed? Because that's typically what happens in British murder plots.
It seemed like it happened pretty quick.
Okay. What about this other man, though? So there was a man that stabbed him, and then there was another man?
Well, it looked like when he ran off, he might have met another man.
Okay, so there's only one man who approached the guy who died.
Yeah.
Okay. But you say he stabbed him.
Well, it certainly looked like he did. I mean, he had a big stab wound in him.
Right, but did he grab at the man who ran away?
I think so.
Where'd he grab him at?
I think he tried to grab his arm as he ran. He was already on the ground.
Did you think that it's possible that he may have grabbed his foot or shoe?
Not that I could tell.
Because shoelace is weird to me.
Yeah.
Because if they didn't strangle him, if they did indeed stab him, I could see here where he might have shoelace if they tried to, you know, strangle to subdue to make the stabbing easier. But this is clearly an attack by one man who then met up with a second man.
Right.
According to this kid.
I ran over to the body and looked at him. He was pretty dead.
Yeah, that's what happens when you get stabbed, kid.
Did the man that stabbed him, did he have any other distinguishing features besides just wearing a coat, a long black coat?
It was kind of dark, and he looked kind of dark in the shadows. I couldn't tell. Brown hair, I think, probably.
A mustache or a beard that you can see?
He might have been a little grizzled.
Okay.
Did you notice anything else, like, either of them walk with a limp? Did they look like they were wearing, were the clothes they were wearing really fine, or were they dirty? Were they old? Were they new?
The tall man that stabbed him, he looked kind of dirty.
Okay, and what about the man that he met?
He was dressed really nice. Wait, the man that he stabbed, or the man that he met when he ran away?
The man that he met. We know about the guy that he stabbed.
Oh. Well, he was actually further away. He might have been dressed nice.
Could you tell any other features of him again? You know, facial hair and such?
No, kind of stout.
When the two men met up, did they seem to be to hurry away, or did they just kind of casually walk away?
Well, he ran.
No, when he met up with the other person, did they run after that fact, or...?
Yeah.
Okay.
And they ran together?
They seemed to. They went around the corner.
Did they run so far away?
running.
Okay. Anything else, or we squeeze this?
Yeah.
So he didn't
roll,
grab...
You guys can roll, like, a psychology.
Let's hit that 05. 51.
I passed.
You can tell he's hiding something.
How much does a newspaper cost? Like a nickel or something?
It's
a farthing?
It's probably a tuppence.
I'll pull out the equivalent of a dollar, a pound, and give it to him.
Wow.
And ask them, you know, is there anything that you're holding back here? We're just trying to help our friend that was stabbed last night, trying to figure out what happened to him.
He takes the money from you. He's very wide-eyed looking at it. He kind of looks around and reaches in his shirt pocket and said, "I found this." And he hands you a small black tube-looking thing.
Sweet.
Okay. I mean, can you describe this better than tube-looking thing?
It appears to be made possibly out of some kind of bone.
Okay.
It seems very old.
When you say tube, like, is it like a hollowed thing on both ends?
Yes.
Okay. Like a whistle?
Good job, sir. It appears to be a whistle.
Could have just said whistle.
With some kind of,
He's being mysterious.
It's got a weird carving on it, and it's like jet black. And it does look as though there was a loop where a strand of something, perhaps a bootlace, could have gone through to hold it.
Okay.
Yeah, after I start talking to Lucas, I remember this. I know what this thing is.
Hold your tongue.
Angus doesn't have a clue.
Angus doesn't, but you do.
I know exactly what it is. So what do you think that thing is, McDuff?
Looks like some kind of whistle. You said there's markings on it?
Mm-hmm.
Do I need to roll for further...
I mean, you can study it without any kind of occulty type roll. You're probably not going to be able to tell what it is. So if you have a cult, you can roll it.
I mean, yeah. No.
Yeah, you can't tell what it is.
Oh, that's a good roll, but that's not good enough.
Good occult rolls.
However, this thing is interesting. As you as you take hold of it, you feel a little different.
Okay. But
are you the one grabbing it, or are you the one grabbing it?
I'd say I was.
Okay. This is the first time I've ever read anything like this in these kinds of books. You actually gain 2 sanity, and you gain 1 just for being around it.
It happens.
Sweet.
It really sucks you weren't there.
Yeah, no shit.
Well, you can't go over your max.
Oh, can't?
No. So if you haven't lost any. I thought you lost 1 earlier, though.
1.
Okay, so then you go back to your max.
Cool.
So Angus is feeling a little better.
So where did you find this? Next to the guy that was stabbed?
It was in his hand.
In his hand. Interesting.
So he pulled the whole lanyard off of attacker, and then the kid took this because he wanted to sell it.
Yeah.
Or something. Or maybe it made him feel better, so that's why he held on to it.
It looked really cool.
It is very interesting. Okay. Yeah, cool. Neat.
Hey, kid, have you ever heard of the bull barker?
Yeah.
You know what the bull barker does to people, right?
Yeah, he punches people.
Right. Nice to meet you. I'm the bull barker.
Nah. Bull Barker's much better looking than you, and he takes off.
It's like, I'll find you, kid! You lie to me again, I'll find you,
I just Tommy. Imagine after these few days, you're looking, like, really grizzled and, like, bearded. not sleeping well.
I don't know where he thought that they looked good. My app is 7. I do not know where he thought that the bull was good looking at all.
Well, he thinks you're cool. He thinks the bull is cool. You don't seem like a cool guy.
Come back here and let me punch you, kid.
You just want to punch things.
Pow, right in the kisser.
We previously, in search of the book, King in Yellow, we went to an occult shop, right? I believe.
Bookshop, yeah.
Yep. Yeah, we went to some sort of strange occulty person, yes.
Yeah. Think it'd be worth to revisit to see if they can tell us anything about this?
That's...
Could always wait and talk to me.
I say, that's the area of you and Mr. Trace. Once you got something to hit, I'll hit it.
I may need you to... I may need that.
That's what I'm here for.
Just letting you know, I do have a 51 in a cult, so...
He's a parapsychologist.
Just show it to me, and there's a chance that I might be able to tell you what it is.
Can I,
Even with an archaeology role, you really probably wouldn't figure out what it is. Because I know that's what your thing is.
Yeah.
You'd be able to tell that it's old. I can tell you that. It's old.
Would I know occult dealers? Is that something that I would know, knowing...
Probably not. Like, you know scrubby people, but not probably somebody that works in the occult.
I didn't realize that there were two different. Those were two different things.
You know, like bookies and backhanded people. I don't think you would know cultists. Otherwise, this game would go a lot smoother because you would know everyone.
Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name.
Well, cheers.
All right.
So if you guys are,
let's have a pint.
If you guys are about rounded here, let's head over to Scotland Yard. Is that where we're headed?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess.
All right, you guys.
I am going to let you have the lead because this is more or less your investigation, and it kind of worked better that way last time when you told them that you were the main person in this investigation, or that at least that you got contacted.
Okay. And I'm just trying to figure out what we're going to be trying to get from them, because all their information would have been coming from the kid, right? So maybe we look at the body.
I mean, that's true, too, but there might be something else that they seen that the kid didn't see.
I mean, would be canvassing. They would tell you about the body. Was he killed with a special knife? Was he... You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, they're going to know actual forensics.
Yeah.
All right. So you guys walk into Scotland Yard. You see a very familiar-looking secretary.
Does she... obviously recognize us.
Oh, she recognizes you.
Okay.
Well, what can I do for you, gentlemen?
We're actually here to hopefully find out a little bit more about our friend, Dr. Trollope. I believe that he...
Reading the papers, have you?
Yeah. Yeah, we read the papers.
What have you to do with Dr. Trollope?
Well, you know that case that we came in to talk to you about previously?
I remember.
He was the family physician for the person who was actually institutionalized. So, we actually had a conversation with him yesterday, and I would like to speak with the lead investigator.
Hmm. And are you trying to figure out who murdered the man? Do you have information?
No. We'd like to try and help you figure out who murdered the man.
I see. You don't think that we can do that ourselves?
Well, it might have some information that has to do with our investigation as well.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead and roll a credit rating.
Fail.
Well, unfortunate.
Yeah, it is unfortunate.
I'm assuming you're here for the same.
Yeah.
Way to fast talk.
Yep. I don't know what I can say to her to get her to get past
it
like
to
this.
The murder. That's how you get to talk to him.
I guess that's true.
Look, gentlemen. I'm about to go on my lunch break, so if you'll excuse me. And she walks through the back door.
I want to talk to the secretary.
There are more people in the room. Yeah,
that's fine. I want to talk to an actual police officer, not like some paper pusher.
Right. You guys wait a minute, and from the back door, a fairly good-looking gentleman walks out, sees you two, and can I help you guys?
Yeah, I guess we'll just try this again. basically, I'm just going to be like, we're looking to try and find out a little bit more information with Dr. Trollope. He's actually was a lead witness in one of the investigations we're actually taking part of right now. And then we'd come to find out that he's dead. We were hoping to figure out, what happened.
Yes.
Persuade.
Yes, he offers his hand. Lead Inspector Taylor here. I'm the lead inspector on this situation. You guys have any information for me?
Well, I don't really have as much information for you as I'm just trying to find some information more about Trollope and the whole situation that happened last night.
I see.
We actually spoke with him yesterday evening, before obviously the events of this happened.
You're the other doctor.
Yeah.
Come with me. He brings you to the back room.
Okay.
He sits you down.
Do I follow or what's...
Yeah, you're going to come with me.
Okay. Both. You ask him both.
Yeah. Yeah.
He sits you down into a little, I guess you can call it an interrogation room, for lack of a better term.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you guys tell me about your encounter with the doctor the previous night?
Well, we came to speak with him because we wanted to kind of get his opinion on the Alexander Roby case and whether or not he needs to be released. His Enid, his maid, let us in.
Mm-hmm.
We briefly spoke with him, and he said that he was going to kind of open up his files to us and let us look. Going to have a better understanding, so we were going to go. I believe we actually go to the hospital? Guys, do you remember that? Did we go to the hospital?
You guys went to gather information on the blood.
Yeah, that's right. So then we left after that, having a conversation. We went to his office and got some basically files on the old family and spoke mm-hmm. with them. And then that was pretty much it. There wasn't any, we never had the opportunity to go back because then we went and spoke with Alexander Roby's brother. So,
Graham.
Yeah, Graham.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Big names. And so everything went all right with your discussion? Was the doctor okay?
I remember specifically he seemed very tired, exhausted. He was kind of... He wasn't really standoffish at all. He was kind of... he knew that we were going to eventually be speaking with him.
Was his state of mind okay? Or was he simply tired? Did he seem off? Worried?
Maybe a bit nervous, but nothing that was, way off-putting that, stood out. Maybe it was just nervous because he thought he had made a wrong decision about having Alex institutionalized to begin with. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't sure that it had anything other than our case that we'd already started.
I see.
Yeah.
And you? Same thing?
Yeah. No, I was traveling along with him as well. Went to all the places with him. He seemed exhausted, but it wasn't, and it could have been mentally exhaustion as well, but it didn't seem anything outputting to be suspicious about. He's an old man.
Mm-hmm.
So we just assumed he was just tired.
Maybe he had just had a long day.
Perhaps.
But, he was calm, and there was no tension between the conversation. It went smoothly, so I...
And about what time were you guys there?
6? I don't know. No, because he goes for his walk at 6:30, so we were there early afternoon. It was 3 or 4.
Do you remember seeing anyone outside the house?
No. The only people we remember seeing is him and Edna.
Yep.
Roll me an idea.
No.
Roll me an idea.
Pass.
You remember seeing a drunk-looking guy in a long coat walking by you?
No, I don't.
That actually happened?
It did happen. It's in the recording.
All right. Nice that happened.
Oh, well, now that you mentioned that, there was a guy that did walk past us on the way out.
He starts scribbling down some info.
He was wearing a long jacket. Smelled like booze.
Well, that could have been our man. Do you think he was following you?
I don't think so. I mean, he walked past us. I mean, I don't remember seeing...
We never had any conversation with him.
No. He didn't go up to the house or anything. Not that I remember.
And we only saw him that one time.
Did he seem, I don't know, angry? Did he seem aggressive type of individual?
He
seemed drunk.
Yeah. I mean, it was seriously, I wasn't really paying attention to him because, I mean, he was just casually walking, so walked by him, smoked booze, and...
Well, at least that's something for us to go on. It's possible this man was hanging around.
That is true. I mean, was he wearing a brown coat? Is that what color it was?
He was wearing a long brown coat that was very filthy.
Oh, yeah. So, it very possibly could. I don't know if that helps you with anything, but... What direction was he walking from? Was it...
He just walked right by you, right in front of the gate to the house.
Okay.
Well... Mr. Trace, was it?
Yeah.
I spoke to Enid this morning. She is obviously hysterical.
Mm-hmm.
She couldn't think of anyone that might have wanted to do this. As far as we knew, as far as she knew, Dr. Trollope didn't have any enemies of any kind. He's a kindly old man. He's helped a lot of people. But she found this on the counter, and it looks like it may be addressed to one of you.
Oh, wow.
Are you wanting me to read this entirety?
This is the one I told you was 2 pages. Told you this was coming.
So it is dated 3rd, November 1928, 126 Longacre, London.
That was his address. That is the night that you met him. That is yesterday. Today is the 4th.
Correct. Okay. And then it says, "Dear Sir, I write this fast upon your leaving our meeting. I'm going to be very frank. Please pardon any offense that I cause. I am not certain of Dr. Highsmith's motives in this case, but I sense a curiosity in you in which I have decided to place my trust. I find myself a need to unburden myself of things that I have left unsaid. I hesitate to put this on paper, but nevertheless, I proceed. Contrary to possible appearance, I am anxious to help Alexander. His father was a good friend of mine, so I've known him since he was a small boy. He is a decent young gentleman, or gentle young fellow, who has, I think, fallen with circumstances that misuse him. I will talk of my first visit to Alexander in St. Agnes of June 1927. Dr. Highsmith told me that he was unmedicated and lucid, and I found this to be the case despite some periodic confusion on his part. But his conversation was odd indeed. He seemed quite unlike the young man I knew. One of the few references to our talk that I could make sense of referred to the book he authored, and upon my return to London, I undertook to look at it. You may be aware that 5 or 6 years ago, Alexander published a volume called The Walker by the Lake. I have never picked it up before. I believe that it would be difficult for me to digest. But though much within was indeed bizarre or puzzling, somehow it held me. Certain words and phrases therein reminded me of Alexander's talk at the asylum, and I could see that there were writings spoke to the root of his incapacity. Oddly, sections of the narrative were in German. I transcribed and later translated these pages. My second visit to Alexander was about 6 months after the first, just before Christmas. On this occasion, I found him sedated and correspondingly uncommunicative. Anxious that my journey was not to be a fruitless one, I thought to try an experiment. I had brought some papers with me, transcriptions of his book, and I began to read out the one of the German passages in that language. I am not sure what I expected from this. I suppose I'm merely seeking a reaction of some kind. I stumbled over the phrases. I'm not skilled at languages, but Alexander responded. He spoke the text along with me. As he did, I stopped reciting myself and tried to engage him. What happened next is difficult for me to say. He kept speaking now, and I could see that he was overly excited, so I was reaching out to touch his shoulder. And as I did, suddenly felt very weak, and the next thing I knew, I was lying on the floor. I was inexplicably panicked. The madhouse attendant was down on one knee, giving me assistance, and Alexander stood above us. His face was his old one and very sad. I'm very sorry, doctor. I cannot change what you saw. And then I remembered what that was. I will tell you that Alexander knows how his father and sister died, and that their deaths were a result of events involving a person or persons using him. It seems Alexander came particularly under the influence of a Mr. Lawrence Bacon. Mr. Bacon is an antique merchant with premises in Liverpool Road, Islington. But I believe he may also be a self-styled occultist. This information was gained at the behest of Alexander's brother, Graham, through a private detective hired in Wapping, a Mr. Vincent Tuck. I think Alexander would seek out Mr. Bacon again if released. It appears to mention that I am sure that these matters had nothing to do with Alexander's courtship with Miss Hartson. No matter what you might have been told, I feel that I've done the right thing in sharing what I know, although I ask that you use discretion for the sake of Alexander's family and possibly for your own security. I urge you to read the book and to contact me again as soon as expedient. I will tell you more of the grounds of my suspicion of Mr. Bacon if you should consent to that meeting. And lastly, I bring myself to tell you what it is that I saw in the small cell in the asylum. As Alexander spoke, I was no longer there in the cell. I was walking in St. James Park. I had just crossed the small suspended bridge to the south across the lake, and I was looking along the buildings on Whitehall. I have made this walk almost every night for the last 30 years, and there I was, and everything was just as it should be. I knew it was not a dream. It was in detail and the normalcy. The mallards setting up their noses, Duck Island, and up ahead, the paperboy calling. The sun was setting. I reached into my pocket for my penny for the Standard, and I see a sharp-faced man, quite tall, and his eyes held mine. "Keep still, please, sir," he said, and I felt a sharp pain, and then I was falling. He helped me down as I clung to him. I closed my eyes, and when I reopened them, I was looking up at the sky, and there was the paperboy's white face, and I tried to say something to reassure him, but couldn't. And then I knew no more. The Lord took me. I hope to hear from you soon. Lionel Trollope.
Cool.
So the man basically seen his own death.
What I got from that.
Pretty much. But Grady start just making circles.
Grady's taking notes.
Okay.
You know, it's a lot to take in. It's definitely could probably be helpful though.
So I'm assuming you actually expected to see me show up then?
Oh, I did.
Okay.
Well, I would have sought you out had you not come. I apologize for the secretary. She's wary.
But, I mean, everything that seems to, that we know, that, did you read the note?
I did not. I knew that it was addressed to you. I was told to give it to you.
Okay.
I don't take it upon myself to read other people's things.
Yeah.
But your reaction to the words seemed pertinent. Is there anything in there I should know about?
Just that the description of what was there seems to meet both the description of the man in the coat that we were talking about,
mm-hmm.
and everything that happened with his actual death. It seems to be kind of like he was predicting it himself as part of that.
You think that Dr. Trollope predicted his own death?
Not necessarily predicted it, but everything that was written down.
He wrote, in the last paragraph there, he wrote word for word what happened to him.
Last night.
That's insane.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly.
Yeah.
We felt the same way.
Hmm.
But it's... other than that, I mean, there's a few names in there, but it's nothing.
Question for you is, did the paper boy say that the man looked him in the eyes?
Paper boy was kind of far away from all the information he was given to us was that a tall man in a long coat stabbed a man in a very well-dressed coat.
But the boy said he never actually went over to him to see if he was alive?
He checked on the body.
Did Trollope try to say anything to the boy? Did he mention anything about that? The
boy said he was just wide-eyed and gone. Didn't seem like he suffered for such a wound that it was. Stabbed right to the heart. Probably a stiletto of some kind.
I don't think there's anything that will lead to the suspect, though, in that.
Sharp-faced man. It's the only other description I can give you besides what we've already talked about. This is the man who was out, like, in the coat. Yeah.
Tall, sharp-faced. Probably very thin. Yeah. That's something. I can ask around the neighborhood at least and see if anyone else saw him the same day that you did, walking along. Although I'm sure you get a lot of drunks in that area.
Hmm. Is there anything else, you know, about the body that seemed odd? Is it all
the boot lace? I'm not really sure if perhaps the murderer lost a shoelace or perhaps it was a necklace of some kind. We don't know.
Okay. Alrighty. Well, I appreciate you giving me this information, and obviously this is important, so.
Yes.
Alrighty.
Definitely helps with the Alexander case.
I don't think there's anything else that we're going to be able to get. I think I hadn't even read it himself.
Yeah. I got nothing else, so.
You guys are leaving Scotland Yard, and what are the other two doing?
They were stopping and getting a pint, I believe.
Waiting on these guys.
Yeah.
No, if we're going to do that, it's not. If I'm looking at this whistle,
can he play?
No.
Oh, you don't want to blow it?
Remembering the dream I had, is there any markings that might be familiar on this whistle?
Roll me a good idea roll.
Anything?
Nope.
Nothing about that. Nothing about the whistle. But you do remember something about nine teeth.
Well, I know that.
He doesn't care to divulge. He only wants to know new things.
Mm-hmm. He doesn't care to tell you about the dream he had.
That's fine. Dreams aren't real.
It's not a... I'm not going to just bring it up. Like,
hey, guys, I'm crazy.
And I did bring it up when we talked about... There was something that brought that up.
No, have a...
Well, you saw the lake, right?
Yeah.
Let's have a pint of bitter and sort this all out. They're going to bring in the letter. Then we can discuss.
All right. You guys are now having a kip.
I like how the wander of the sea sounds a lot like the walker around the lake.
You guys were close.
So that's what it's supposed to be?
That's what Der Wanderer Dirkdinshi apparently is, a walker by the lake.
It's just translated?
Yes. That is the translated title.
Yeah, so...
Is that the book that you're supposed to be reading?
It's the one that Delia gave you.
You know, I'm...
So he actually wrote that book.
Yeah.
Roby actually wrote the book.
Remember, that was the book
of... What's interesting is that he says he's got translated pages. I think that's interesting.
He said he translated it himself.
Yeah, so they exist somewhere.
Maybe go try and speak back with Edna. Elsa, what was her name?
Enid.
I think I did say Edna, didn't I?
That's okay.
Speak.
We're not going to punch her.
No, I was going to break in a window and just go find him myself.
Did you happen to ask the officer about Mr. Bacon? If we can get any leads there?
No.
I mean, it's not like the guy's, like, missing. We could probably easily find him.
Can you roll me...
Wouldn't hurt to have the police on our side. But...
That's true.
Can you roll me some kind of... You don't have any kind of credit rating, do you?
No.
What do you have?
Like, I'm pretty sure I just took the stats out of the book, and it didn't have credit rating or psychology.
You have law.
Yeah.
Or is that just an understanding of the law itself?
Yeah, that's just understanding of the law.
I gotta have a law rating of at least 90 to be the law.
What's your idea?
At this point, your idea is kind of low.
I could make those rolls.
Of course you could.
Roll me an idea roll.
That's a fail.
Okay.
You can show Mr. Acalti the
whistle.
Show me
Harold, can you roll me an idea roll?
Show him your bone, mate.
39 out of 80.
And also give him this whistle.
You guys are, let's just retcon a bit, as you are walking back to the pub discussing what was in the letter.
Uh-huh.
You remember that in the letter he mentions a private investigator?
Tuck.
Yep. Vincent. Vincent Tuck.
Yeah.
you think maybe you get the idea that perhaps whatever your character's name is might know the guy.
Yeah, so I'm going to ask him. I mean,
do I know the guy?
Yeah. Well, you rolled you a terrible
didn't,
idea.
Didn't roll very well, so.
So I assume no.
You don't think so.
No.
By the way, I mean, you're both private investigators. You can probably go talk to them at some point once we're done here talking with them.
Yeah, no, that's true. I could go do that.
So, yes, you have a whistle.
I'm more comfortable talking to a private detective.
So, we have a whistle.
Than
I have a private detective that's been looking into Mr. Bacon already.
He followed Roby for 3 weeks.
Yeah, no.
He was following Alexander at Graham's behest.
Right.
Oh, okay.
But he obviously knows something about this fact in that he says he's an antique merchant and presumed a cultist. So assuming that he just didn't pull that out of his ass, and since we know that Bacon is already a person from Delia,
definitely a person of interest. That's one of the names.
Yeah.
I couldn't remember which one it was, but she described one of them sort of being the ringleader, so it probably was him.
I thought it was Corey.
No, I thought it was one of the two new names. I thought it was either Coombs or...
I think it was Coombs.
Or Bacon, but...
Mm. Regardless, they're all on our hit list.
Yeah, I'm going to hand...
Hand me the whistle.
What's your name again? Sorry.
Harold.
Harold.
Trace. I go by Harry.
Yeah. Have either of you lost any sand?
I have not.
Okay, then you don't gain any back.
Yeah, so I'm going to hand him the whistle and see... Yeah. What do you know?
Roll me a good old Colt.
Come on, dice. 43 out of 51. It's a pass.
Studying this whistle, you realize that this creature that is carved into it looks very familiar. And after some thought, it looks to be something known as a Byaki.
If you want a picture of it, it's in that book, Lucas.
Oh, there's a picture of it in this book.
Yeah, that picture's not as good.
That's fair.
Just saying, there's a picture. There's a nice new drawing in the new 7th edition if you want to take a look at it.
From what you can see in this, it appears to be some sort of bird-like creature. There are wings carved in this and a very, the mouth of the whistle is actually the open mouth of the creature. So it's like its head, sort of its ridged back, and what you can tell of what looks like wings.
Okay. I guess I'll describe it, because I know those things, right?
Yep.
So I'll explain it and describe it exactly how he just did. Pretty simple.
So yeah. What sort of...
It's like some kind of winged beast.
So what sort of nation or place comes up with some sort of fantastic beast like that? Is that something the Germans came up with? Is that, like, ancient Rome? Like, I mean, that's kind of rare. Like, if we're gonna kill somebody, we're gonna pay some drunk off the street to stab a guy, right? I don't think he has some sort of ancient bone whistle on him. Just gonna throw that out there. He might have a bone whistle, but if you're telling me that this thing's legit, how many drunks out there you think have some sort of ancient Mesopotamian bone whistle or something?
Not very many is my guess.
Yeah, I'm going to bet one.
Yeah, one.
Can I see the whistle?
Sure.
I'm going to look at it.
Okay.
You're going to blow on the whistle?
I'm going to blow the whistle.
Yeah, I'm going to try to stop him from doing that. That's going to be the case.
Okay.
Snatch it from him.
Yeah.
Wow. Don't make the bone whistle!
What is it Dex v. Dex for like an initiative?
My dex is 10.
And your dex is?
14.
You do not have a good chance, because I think he's got to roll under a 65 or a 70.
It's a 70.
So you got to roll 70 or less, Troy.
To grab his hand.
No, I'm grabbing the whistle.
Well, either or, it's in his hand, yeah.
That'd be a 72.
72.
So get...
Play Epina's song.
Your fingernails just barely scratch the side of the inspector's hand as he blows the whistle.
Our title track, Holy, is provided by Sleep for the Weary from their latest album, Nocturne. Learn more about Sleep for the Weary at sleepfortheweary.com, Facebook, and Twitter. Follow the Rancor's Brothel at rancorsbrothel.com, and be sure to leave us a review on iTunes if you enjoyed the show. See you next time.